This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I drink a ridiculous amount of beer. If you're watching the video version, you see that Nick has left me. We also got Chris, Solidary, and Hardcore Craft Beer here on. We're talking about Dark Side Emporium. Yeah, we're just drinking a lot of beer. So let's get into it this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And we got a special guest back once again.
Man, this guy's getting some frequent flyer miles on this show, man. We got a...
Three-timer.
Chris Jacobson, man, from Solidarity Hardcore Craft Beer. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Not too much at all. Now that I'm actually here and sitting down, I feel good.
Right on, man. Yeah, Chris is making his third appearance on the show, which is probably some kind of record. And we're here to talk about...
Yeah.
Dark Side, his killer annual event at Emporium, and talk about whatever the hell else we want to talk about, man.
Mm-hmm. So,
but first, we got to talk about the beer we're drinking, because that's the priority on the show.
True.
Get beer first. And so we got some cans of Aquanaut. It's their maiden voyage. So this is their rye Indian pale ale.
Yeah. Now, you went up there and got this? Because they're up in Andersonville, right?
I didn't. They're in the stores, on the shelves. You can get, like, I think, like, three of their different beers. I think there's a ESB and maybe a coffee porter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can find them around town. So they're finally started canning and getting their beers out there. The cans feel very thin for some reason. I feel like they are, like,
like
they're not as, like...
About...
thick as a half acre can for whatever reason. Like, I don't know about that, but
what's the shrink wrap label that's kind of throwing me off?
Oh, okay.
Like, it's always like I kind of see, especially who does like Tired Hands and all that, Vivant Brewery of Vivant.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they just like slap a sticker on their cans and stuff. I'm like,
well, Spiteful does that.
Yeah,
18th.
Yeah,
they do
like,
that.
Why not just get fucking cans printed. I mean, you're getting something printed.
It's expensive, right?
I think you have to buy, you have to commit to like a million cans. Like, you have to buy like a
1 million cans.
1 million cans, no more, no less.
Yeah, I think you have to commit to like a ridiculous amount of cans.
Start brewing some beer.
But the shrink wrap thing is new. You don't usually see that. You usually see like the sticker.
Yeah. This is interesting. Maybe that's what's like giving the can a weird feel.
Yeah, possibly. But have you guys had any of the Aquanaut stuff before?
At a festival.
Yeah.
I haven't had it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had
it. It's my first time
packaged.
I had it out of a can. They had a rye. They were one of the few local breweries that would show up to that event at Union Station. The Chicago, I think it was like Chicago Ale Fest or whatever. It was very bro-y, like very like regional, you know, national craft beer event where like Sapporo would be there.
Okay. You had Aquanaut.
And, yeah, but Aquanaut was one of the few that were there. And back then they had a beer called Fried Neck Bones, which is a rye pale ale.
I wonder
if that's the origins for this.
Maybe. It might be a similar beer, but the artwork looks nice. And yeah, we'll sip on this and chat about our past week of drinking.
Yeah.
So Nick, I think both of us made it over to Forbidden Root this week, right?
Yeah, Chicago Avenue. So that's Westtown.
Mm-hmm. So right, like next door to Who's Your Mama Pie Company there.
Yeah.
The place was hopping when I went there.
Yeah.
Saturday night, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty busy. They close at midnight.
So. Yeah, I went on Thursday and they had five beers on draft when I was there.
Okay.
And yeah, good for them, man. You know, there's nothing over there. And I think they had this weird law where they had to raise, like, they had to temporarily lift a ban on alcohol sales, like, on that strip in order to pull this off. So, really excited for them. Botanical beers. So I guess they're kind of paying tribute to how you made beers in America. They were basically foraging beers back then where you would just grab anything, like roots and fruits and veggies or whatever.
Right.
But this was, like, before hops, I think. So.
Yeah, before they knew or could cultivate that, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a throwback to that. It was pretty cool. 15-barrel system. And then they got these infusers, which is like a, it's a tank that just focuses on like, it's with mesh netting in it that focuses on like adding weird. Okay.
See, I went back in the brew house, but I didn't get told anything. It was just like, here it is. Like, okay.
Look, look at all of our shit.
Look at the shiny
That's
metal.
That's pretty awesome. Now go.
Yeah. It's like, all right, sweet. Yeah. So you had like a legit tour and...
I mean, well, no. When I went back there, they kind of did the same thing. Like, yeah, this is it, bro. And then there's like a guy standing over here saying, don't go over here. And but no, I hung out with Randy a little bit, but Randy Mosier. So okay. It's Randy Mosier, BJ Pishman's the head brewer, and then they got the Rootmaster, Robert Finkel. So those are the core guys, I think.
That's a pretty sweet title, Rootmaster.
Rootmaster's a legit title. And Randy is the alchemist.
Okay.
Yeah. So and it was Randy that was telling me this stuff.
It's like a magician.
Dude, my buddy's a he's a magician at a children's hospital.
Oh, I thought you didn't say he had a brewery. My buddy's a magician at a brewery.
No, there's a side note. But his title is director of magic.
Oh, like, okay.
That's a sick fucking title.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. This place is good. I think the botanical root or the botanical brewing ideology plays well on paper. In practice, I don't know. What did you think when you were there?
So I love the space. I think the space is great. It's an old theater, and so they did a good job. Like, it doesn't feel like a theater, but it has like the roof, the ceiling. If you look up, it's kind of arched, and you can tell they spent a lot of money to put that together.
Yeah.
I feel like they had like 6 beers on. I was told their cocktail list is pretty stellar, which I feel like that goes hand in hand with botanical beers and cocktails.
Kind of. I'm excited about that part. They're going to have like they're going to make their own sodas. They're going to have a whole line of cocktails. They're making bitters, that kind of thing. Now, Chris, have you had any Forbidden Root stuff?
Only the one that we actually had.
Last time I was here. Yeah, we had the Divine Mud.
Okay.
It was chocolate, not chocolate beer.
It was a chocolate one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like all their beers were good. A lot of them were ones I've had before.
Yeah.
I wouldn't need a growler. I wouldn't, right now, with the beer lineup, I wouldn't be like, hey, give me 64 ounces to take home. I want to drink this, you know, ginger beer.
Yeah.
I want to fall asleep with it. I'm with you.
They're gonna crush it in that space. I think that area is thirsty for a brew pub. I really like the Sublime Ginger. I still think that's the best beer they make.
Mm-hmm. And they do have food there. The kitchen was closed when I was there, so I don't know. I didn't even look at the menu to see what they had coming.
They did have a beer called 64 Impala, which is pretty cool. So that's the first thing I asked. I'm like, well, what's that about? He's like, that's our ode to gin and juice. We all love gin and juice, and they didn't want to call it the beer gin and juice.
Sure,
but it was inspired by that.
Okay, yeah, so makes sense.
That was good. And they had a cherry Amaro stem ale. Okay. So they used they infused cherry stems because apparently the cherry stems had a flavor profile that the cherries didn't. And they made 2 batches, one with cherries and then one with the stems. And they were like, we prefer the stems.
All right. I think Ken Hunter-Meter got that one at one point. Maeve had a lemon one, a limon that was like 3%. She's like, this is what I want to drink all night. I'm fine with this.
I do give them credit for like throwing their hat in the ring and then coming up with a concept that nobody else has tried. You know, there's a lot of creativity there, a lot of imagination there, a lot in that historical piece, you know, about like beer concepts from years past. I think that's all pretty slick, man. I think it's a cool space.
Yeah, the story I think is gonna sell.
Yeah.
It's nice. I'm sure I'll make it there. It's not far from my house right now, so I'm sure I'll make it there again at some point.
Yeah.
And maybe finally eat there too. you make it anywhere else? That was the only thing I did.
Yeah, I went over to Corridor, which is the second project from the Dry Hop guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be like a farmhouse brewery, like not too far from Wrigley.
Right, not too far from where we're at.
Right. Yeah, because we're right over there. Yeah. That space, it was another, you could tell, like, these guys had some cash to play with when you go into Forbidden Root and when you go into Dry Hop. Like, they're beautiful spaces. They're stunning spaces. Yeah, and what I liked about Dry Hop is that they use the tanks as artwork. And just like Corridor and Dry Hop, it's the exact same thing where, like, the bright tank sits above the fermentation tank and that all sits behind the bar. It's all basically part of the bar.
Right, and they're, like, the smaller tanks.
Yeah, and that's not something you see really anywhere other than those two places. They said that their top-selling beer is the Wizard Fight, which is a lactose IPA, about 7%. Okay. And they're originally just going to be a one-off brewery, but they're noticing people gravitate towards certain beers, like that lactose one, and then like a couple farmhouse ones.
Wizard Fight. I feel like this is a magic themed.
Oh yeah, wizard, wizard fight, right? Yeah, yeah. So I went there.
Nice. Okay. Did you eat there, or were you just drinking?
No, I actually was going to a steakhouse in that area, like a little Columbia steakhouse, and I'm like, dude, I'm not that far from this place. Let's go.
Okay.
So we went over there.
Yeah, I know it's been pretty busy a few times when I've stopped by, like hour wait, so haven't even made it in. But I've made it in once, but other times it's just been, again, like proximity, neighborhood, like, hey, there's nothing else around here, let's go there kind of thing.
Yeah, I hear that. And I like that it's going in the opposite direction of Wrigleyville stuff.
You know?
Like, hey, we don't have TVs. Yeah, you can bring your kid. We're going to play vinyl. We're going to make these beers that we probably won't make again.
Yeah.
I dig that.
Cool.
Especially over there. You know,
nice.
So. I didn't get to anything downtown. Obviously, I'm not. I'm just gonna throw my hat in the ring here. So my weekend was pretty boring. No, I sat around and played video games. No, on Friday actually, I went to it was called the technical tour out in Geneva. There's a brewery called Penrose.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Tom Quarter and Eric Hobbs from.
I've heard of those guys.
Yeah, I've heard of these crazy.
I think they worked at that one, like, I don't know, Honkers place.
Right.
They actually had Levi Funk from Funk Factory up in Madison.
Is this the dude that's got like the mobile setup?
The mobile cool ship. Yeah.
Okay.
Whoa.
So he had that. He had his like toy there, and we were talking about basically just wild fermentation and like souring of beers and blending like of gooses and stuff, and we saw them like filling the mobile cool ship and all that, and talked about like why they do it, when they do it, because I mean you can really only cool ship during like the colder winter months.
So now I don't know much about the cool ship part. Like, so you brew the beer.
You brew beer.
Sweet looking ship, man.
Yeah, it's a cool ship that's like a box on the floor.
So you got this cool ship. You brew the beer on Penrose equipment.
Yeah.
And then you transfer it to this thing.
Right. Well, he's not actually a brewer. He has no interest in being a brewer. He's just a blender.
Oh, okay.
Much like Armand from, like, Trefontaine. He's just I guess he's an economist during the day, and by night he moonlights as a blender. But he travels to different breweries, and basically they brew the beer, like, they brew a core recipe.
Mm-hmm.
They throw it into the cool ship, and then he trucks it back to Madison, where he uses his barrels and ages it. And then after, you know, 1, 2, 5, or whatever many years he wants, he, like, blends different batches together, and that's how he makes his stuff. He, like, fruits his beers, too. Like, it's a whole operation.
Seems like a weird legal nightmare, too.
Not really. It's the new
because I'm guessing the new law was too, right?
Yeah, he does everything.
Oh, okay.
So everything is just sourcing it, basically. I mean, it's unlike, you know, over in Belgium, there's three main lambic producers,
mm-hmm.
And then everybody buys lambic from these three producers and then ages them in their own barrels and then blends
them.
So it's kind of that same process, but as long as you can find a brewery that's willing to, you know, that has the space and will let you come in and have a batch done, like,
right,
that's where it goes.
Okay. So I guess it makes sense him coming in on the weekends, too, where it's like, oh, you're probably not brewing at this time. You probably do normal hours, and you guys are kind of
It works out perfectly. So. He's not doing economist stuff during the weekend.
Yeah.
And brewers typically...
The economy shuts down on the
weekends. Yeah, the economy does shut down on the weekends.
And then they're probably not brewing. They usually brew during the week, so it all works out.
Well, especially like at night, it gives the time overnight to cool down, because the cool down process is like so much longer when you're not using an actual like chill plate or anything like that. So, I mean, you're literally pumping this beer into this like freaking steel box.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sits there with the windows open,
right?
And it lets the microflora in.
Because the cool ship is usually like an open, it's just like a flat bed. It's like a tray.
It's a glorified pan.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. So, I mean, that was pretty cool. Well, we had a couple beers, had a couple of like Funk Factory beers, and everyone got a glass and stuff. It was pretty neat. It was a sit down with him and Tom. So it was kind of fun. It was like all the way in the back in the brewery too, so you're kind of like in the thick of things and looking at all the shiny metal.
Yeah, they got the really nice copper exterior on their on their tanks out there too. I went the one time. It's actually, once you get out there, you can pretty much walk all of downtown Geneva.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially on a nice day, it's a great walk too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I haven't been out there since the summer. So yeah, it's been a little bit.
Yeah. I did one more thing.
Okay.
I went to hung out with Mike Miller at Delilah's, at like there was a craft beer and whiskey tasting at like 10 o'clock at night on like a Thursday.
Okay, I felt like you air quoted this like it was not craft beer, it was not whiskey.
No, it was like
craft beer whiskey.
I don't know.
Jameson and Bud Light.
Yeah, it was no. But I'm like, what does a 10 o'clock at night, you know, Thursday night craft beer event look like? Yeah. But it was the Scotch guys. It was Highland Park.
Okay.
Cool. They were in town. Yeah. So they have this this new-ish Scotch called Dark Origins. And we paired it with a couple of beers. I don't know much about Highland Park as a crew, but talking about moonlight, and this guy apparently was like a priest during the day. And then he like, you know, and then he was a bootlegger at night.
Oh,
like
that's better than being like a priest at night and a bootlegger by day.
Yeah, right. So but that's how Highland Park got its start, man. Yeah, this bottle of beer, this bottle of whiskey was really nice. Was
not about, the town Highland Park.
No, either. not the one near Wilmette. Okay. Not the one you take the Union Pacific North to. No, like Highland Park is the northernmost tip of England.
Okay.
Yeah. So we paired this beer with Breakfast Stout, which was, you know, a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But then they also went in the opposite direction for contrast and paired it with Daisy Cutter.
Oh.
They said, you know, the hoppiness from Daisy Cutter would play up the smoky peat notes in the Scotch. So that was cool. The Highland Park folks are really chill. I really like those guys.
Yeah.
Actually, it was Steph. It was Steph. So shout out to Steph. She's a whiskey chick on Instagram.
That's her name?
Yeah.
Okay. She's not just a whiskey chick.
No. Okay. So, but Mike, hanging out with Mike was the cool part because Mike was like, because, you know, they did the 13-year whiskey and then they did like, 15-year. They make their producers. They produce whiskey. He's like, dude, we're not only doing that, but we're doing tequila. We're doing Scotch and whiskey. He's like, last year they sold like 6,000 bottles of their private label, you know, brands. Mm. And, you know, he's like, hey, you know, right now we're using it as a tool because everything that goes out has Delilah's name on it. Uh-huh. So then you know it's basically a marketing tool for Delilah's as well as, you know, a cool whiskey. He said ultimately it's going to grow and he's going to like use that as a launching pad to just make more whiskey. And I didn't know he did 6,000 bottles of whiskey last year.
No, yeah.
So kudos to him, man.
That's pretty awesome. So how was your Friday then after a whiskey and craft beer pairing night?
Craft beer. Yeah. You know, I power through, man. Because okay. I do this for the city, Brad. It's my civic duty to
drink.
To drink. So, you know. So it was all right.
I feel like you need like donations now.
You're running around in a cape drinking beer.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for you.
Like, don't worry, I got this. Yeah. Can I get a snifter, please? I don't want this fucking pint glass.
Man.
Yeah, so. But yeah, that's it, man. That's all I did.
I feel like that's a pretty solid week. We went to a couple breweries, some good events, and
yeah. Speaking of events, Chris, what's been up since we last saw you, man? Yeah. So we get you in here annually.
When did I see you last? Actually, the last time I saw you was we were talking about Dark Lord. Did I see you at Phobab? I don't think I saw you. We were talking about Dark Lord. That
might have been here.
The last time I saw you was probably here. We're talking about Dark Lord, yeah. And then previous to that was Darkseid.
Yeah.
So
you got the last time you came, you brought a really nice barrel aged beer. That you had in barrels for like, you were only staying like a few months. It was really nice.
It was 3 months.
Large format bottle. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the name of it, but it was nice.
Called Dour.
Dour. That was it.
Yeah. That's something that I produce and something I'm hoping to produce more of in the future.
Right on.
But that project's moving a little slow. Mm-hmm. But just like with anything else, starting a brewery.
As all projects do, man. We were at Band of Bohemia and the guy's like, dude, I've been open for 6 months or 3 months and I'm working on this for 5 years, he told me. It's a 5-year project.
Yeah, it's long.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things I wouldn't wish on anybody, but, you know, when the time's right. So, yeah, Darkseid, that's what we're here to talk about, right? Not knitting or something. Crochet. It's coming up this Sunday.
Yeah.
We're actually in year 4 now, so years.
Wow.
It's pretty much the same as it's kind of been in the last couple of years, $25. You get a handful of tokens and handful of samples, and you have a choice of buying full pours of any of the beers. I think the only main difference this year is that, like, I'm not doing, like, the little bags, the little, like, goodie bags that come, like, because people were like, yeah, that's just something you have to, like, keep track of, and I, like, lost mine. And,
yeah, like, what do you do with it while you're playing games?
Right. I'm like, okay, I can see that. But I'm like, 4 days out and I'm already kind of like missing not doing that because I thought it was like kind of fun and cool. So I'm bringing it back next year. So that's fair warning. I'm doing it next year for year five. So.
Like, take it. You see somebody not taking it. You're like, here, you forgot this.
Run down the street. You forgot your bag. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we got about, I don't remember how many breweries we have. I lost count, but we got 24 beers with a couple beers on backup.
Okay.
We got like Bell's and Revolution. Perennial. Like Perennial's bringing Sump and then Burundi Sump.
Burundi Sump. I'm guessing Burundi's like a type of coffee or something?
To be honest with you, I don't remember.
Okay.
I remember looking it up, but then I've been like going through so many beers the last like 4 days that I can't remember, like keep things straight. We're like speaking of like coffee beers, Revolution's bringing up Benormagine, which is like their barrel-aged imperial porter with coffee.
Mm-hmm. Right, because the Gene series, there's a lot in the genes.
There's a lot of genes.
But actually, that whole series is over now.
Yeah.
Like they're not doing away with that, I think kind of sucks. I mean, I think Eugene's gonna stick around, like the normal, like the base.
I thought the genes were great because it was like a period.
Genes were great. Yeah. Loved that. I don't know like what they're gonna be replacing it with, but we'll pour one out for them at some point in time. But yeah, we've got Four Hands coming back. They're bringing an apple brandy barrel aged Woodsman, which is their last year's anniversary. Madagascar, which is like a huge fan favorite.
Really like the Four Hands Madagascar stuff.
Yeah, I really like that. It's a great beer. Barrel aged imperial sweet stout with vanilla beans. Can't really go wrong with that.
They have like a ton of great milk stouts. Like they do.
They just released that like package like at the end of last year with like a couple different versions of it with like a horchata and
Four Hands is what? Is that Philly? Where are they from?
No,
St. Louis.
Yeah. Right. Come on, man. They're like way better than Philly.
Got the Billionaire Boys Club, Ballast Point. They'll be there. I got the Victoria C Coconut as well as the peanut butter. I had the peanut butter.
I'm looking forward to the coconut. I'm glad you found a list because I totally forgot.
No. We got it on.
Spacing out on it.
No, it's good. It's
where's the list at?
ChicagoBeerGeeks.com.
Okay.
And HardcoreCraftBeer.com.
Okay. Anyone is looking for that.
Speaking of the list, like how do you land on these as the breweries, and how do you decide that these are the beers you're going to pour at this thing?
Well, there's usually two stipulations. Like there's like as far as to meet the profile, you have to A, it has to be dark.
Okay.
And then B, it has to be awesome. So that's pretty much all I need.
That's easy.
You all really need. Usually I have like a list of breweries that I try to contact that of them who've been involved before.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's kind of like if you were involved, you kind of get first dibs next time around.
Yeah.
I always try to have like a nice plethora of styles to choose from with like black IPA. So we have Blacker from Surly. We do have a brown ale, the Cacao Bender from Surly as well. We have like Wiseblood from Three Floyds, which is a Baltic porter, an oak-aged Baltic porter.
Oh,
wow. We got plenty of stouts, plenty of barrel-aged stouts. We got a ton of other porters. I think we have, what else do we have in there? I don't know. There's a lot of shit being poured.
No, but that's what I dig about the event. Like, you know, because I've been at this event a couple times, and, you know, I said, hey, I'm just going to say hi to Chris, and I'm going to peace out. And then you look up, and you're like, oh, shit, it's like 7 o'clock at night. But the list is diverse enough that you don't get burnt out on a particular type of dark beer, you know, and that's the part I really dig, you know.
And you easily could get burned out if you want to, which is, I mean, there's plenty of barrel-aged stouts galore. But
it's samples you kind of get with the ticket when you come in, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
And, I mean, the thing is, like, we give you, like, 8 samples, which is, like, let's be real, like, between 4 and 5 ounces because of the glassware that they use. So it's anywhere between 32 and 40 ounces.
Okay.
Everything is pretty high octane, though. So, I mean, you're downing 40 ounces of high octane beer, like...
A good six pack probably for most people. So
it does pretty well. So I mean, everybody should use discretion when buying more, especially if you're driving. So that's just kind of like the way that we structure it, and it's worked for us in the past, and it's just kind of how we do it. We try to keep prices low and just something that fun to do on a Sunday afternoon. So
I love it trips me out how like it seems like there's more winter events in Chicago, like than like summer festivals. In Chicago, summer beer festivals.
I don't know. There's a lot of beer events.
No, but I'm saying all the summer, all the warm weather, big beer events or cool beer events mm-hmm. are in the burbs and when it comes to the summertime.
Okay, you know? But the winter ones are in the city,
which catches me out. Like Polar Beer Fest, like you know, like Dark Side, you know. Mm-hmm. Uppers and Downers was this weekend. These were all winter beer fests, you know. Mm-hmm. Rare Day.
Right.
Oh, but it looks like you've got a Johnny's Van Smokehouse there
too. Oh yeah, Johnny Van. Johnny Van's gonna be back. This is the second time he's come back.
Right.
I love this guy. Okay. This guy is awesome. This dude can like make some incredible meat. I mean, I love everything that he's ever done. I try to incorporate him into every event that I do. He actually is. I think he's gonna be doing like a trio of sliders.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like easy to eat and play video games or eat and drink beer at the same time, which is kind of what I was going for. And the guy's really kind of come through, and he's got a portion size for like $5 for a plate or $10 for a plate, depending on how hungry you are or if you want to split with somebody. So he's going to be back for second year, and it's going to be really cool.
And it's at the original Emporium,
right.
Which I like. Because I like the Logan Emporium is closer to my house, but I wish the new Emporium felt and looked more like the original. You know, like there's not as many video games, I feel like.
They added more.
Yeah.
But it's still a different vibe. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they focused on table games like pool and
foosball.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm pretty legit in foosball and air hockey. I feel like anybody that runs up might just catch. They might just catch.
I don't even know they have air hockey. I think that's maybe too intense.
Right? But they have to have air hockey.
It's got the glow in the dark.
Okay, they got like two. One table, one, two
it's
tables?
It's like three tables.
Oh, okay. I don't think I ever noticed those. Okay.
Yeah. Right on. So let's talk about Solidarity, man. Like, I've known you for a while, but I don't think I know how Solidarity Chicago Hardcore Craft Beer started.
Okay. Well, that's actually a very, that's a mouthful.
Give us a TLDR.
Solidarity, actually, this whole thing started back in 2012, in February, actually, is when the idea came around. And it started off as kind of a way to incorporate local breweries and national breweries that had a local representation.
Yeah.
And it started off, and before you open that, I actually brought a beer.
Oh, right on, let's do it.
Since it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I figured we'd crack it open. I mean, this is a big motherfucker too.
Should we dive into this?
It's 18.9%.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll work my way through this.
It's a meal in a bottle.
We should try some.
Just a sip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So start with a sip.
Okay. If we make it through the whole bottle, then cheers to us.
There's other people around in the office that might. That's
up. Yeah, that's true.
Hey, anybody want to get drunk?
Oh, they're putting on jackets, so they are leaving.
Oh, yeah, they saw the Black Tuesday come out, and they're like, we're done here. Where was I before I dropped that bomb?
The Tuesday bomb, the black bomb?
The black bomba. So anyway, back in 2012, this was started, and my first event was actually a two-year anniversary for Stone Brewing Company being in Chicago.
Okay.
So it brought together Stone and Dogfish Head and Half Acre and a crap ton of other breweries to be a part of this, like, celebration. And we took over Timothy O'Toole's locations. There was a bus that went in between. This guy came out for a little bit. And we had, like, some ridiculous amount of beers on draft. And ever since then, it kind of... It developed into an educational sort of thing for the consumers in Chicago to show them like what craft beer is actually in the market, who's actually producing these beers, because some people didn't even know that some of these breweries like were in their own backyard.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that whole thing got started, and then over the years it's developed into more of an educational. Platform between social media and our website and the events that we do. So like Dark Side was something that was kind of developed to educate the people on what dark beer is, because a lot of people were like, no, I don't like Guinness. It's like, well, you don't have to like Guinness to come to this. Or, it's too heavy, or it's not really my style, or something like that. Like, this gives you an opportunity to come in, sample some stuff, really see what's out there, and without having to like buy a full bottle or a six pack or whatever. Yeah. So it really gives the opportunity to also showcase some of the good beer and the great beer that's available, whether it be just at the brewery, sometimes we get stuff that you won't be able to find anywhere else, but it just kind of gives a good showcase for like what these breweries can do and what the differences between a barrel-aged stout and a regular stout and a barrel-aged porter and a regular porter, black IPA, blah, blah, blah. So that's where that whole thing kind of comes in.
Nice. Okay.
So Emporium.
Emporium.
What time is the party going to be on Sunday?
Starts at noon.
All right.
And kind of goes until the last person passes out.
Nice.
And so if you come in for tickets for 25, could you just come in if you didn't want to do the event, or do you have to do the event?
Like, you don't have to do the event.
Like if two people came in and they're like, I just kind of want to split these samples, and is that...
They could come in and, I mean, I'm not sure what Emporium usually does as far as ounces-wise, like if you can get like a sampler or whatever, I'm not sure, but... if they want to come in and they don't want to do the event, that's fine. If they want to do the event at the door, it's 30 at the door. It's 25 online pre-sale. It's the same sort of get up though. You get the tickets, you get the tokens. You can choose not to partake in it, which is fine. You can just go to the bar, but just know you're only going to be drinking dark beer. Like there's not like anything else on the menu that's, you know, lighter. Or an amber or anything like that. So you're kind of screwed unless you like dark beer.
Right.
So.
Okay. That's a dangerous Sunday.
Yeah. The Floyd's Oak Aged Lager is probably your only... That's probably your, I'm guessing, like, flavor-wise.
Light color beer?
It's going to be the lightest if there is, you know, the least heavy, yeah. I guess, right?
Well, maybe like Cowbender from Surly. That's a brown ale. Okay. But I mean, it's because of the cacao and all that. It's pretty freaking dark. So that might actually be the lightest.
Right on.
Who knows? Just come out. Just try it.
Anything else we should jump into for events for this weekend? We know Dark Side's a big one.
Dark Side's a big one, though.
Yeah.
I know Alarmist is doing a lot of cans events around the city, so I've been sharing those on our Facebook page. So there's not like one specific to check out, but the Alarmist cans for Entrenched IPA have been showing up around the city.
Right on.
So I'd recommend checking those out. Cool. But I know we have a lot of, I guess, interesting beer news stories to talk about.
We got some beer news and just two more events real quick.
Okay.
Thursday. Is that this Thursday? This Thursday is the 25th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This month is over.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
March. Quick. That was crazy.
And it's a leap month. So we actually get one extra day.
So
I'm fine with it because I'm ready for summer. Like the faster
the
months are over here.
Pitchers and catchers already reported, man.
I don't even want to hear that. You know, baseball's like 13 months long. It's ridiculous.
So fun, man. You know?
Is it?
Outdoor drinking? Are you kidding me?
I can do that in my backyard.
I think I was doing that.
I can take
weekend.
My own nap.
Just do it at Wrigley. Do it at Sox Park.
They should really give
you can tailgate at Sox Park. Hey, listen, Glaucus Belgian IPA from.
Those are made up words.
Pipeworks.
Glaucus.
That's where Pipe Works. It's going to be at the other Emporium, the one that focuses on cans.
Okay.
That'll be a launch party on Thursday the 25th.
That's their latest can?
That's their latest can.
Okay.
Yeah, like that, they're doing all their cans there, I think.
Right? They got pretty nice cans.
Yeah.
They got nice cans.
Nice
they
cans,
have a
bro.
Lot of cans now, too.
It's sweet like, cans.
What, five?
Yeah.
Also, Saturday, Polar Beer Fest at Rock Bottom.
Yeah.
And then if you're out in the burbs, Naperville Ale Fest, $50 ticket, noon to 4. So those are also going on this week.
I haven't been to Polar Bear Fest in, I'd say, like 2-3 years. It's a fun time. It's a fun event, and especially it's been warmer in Chicago, so it's not too bad out there.
Yeah, they say it's a fundraiser for the Guild as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I've never been, so I got nothing to add on that one.
There's beers on the roof, and there's beers inside, so if you can't handle the cold, you can go inside. So.
Yeah, I'm not really one for, like, cold beer fests outside. Like, okay. I don't know. I kind of like, it's like golfing. Like, I know I'm going to, like, be there and I'm going to enjoy myself, but why put myself in a shitty situation that I have to, like, make sure that I'm having a good time? Like, I don't want to be freezing.
It's a cold weather town. People just want to get together and booze.
Yeah, they can all huddle. They can like, just hug
Portland,
the entire time while they're drinking.
Portland has a holiday ale fest where they, it's like in the square in, like, a park downtown, but they do, like, big tents. So you're kind of in, like, this... sort of warm room, but it's just like it's just a giant tent, and there's almost like tubes that connect you to other parts of the tent. So it's kind of like an outdoor.
Sounds like a hamster cage.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's kind of funny you're drinking in the cold, but it's sort of warm. All right, so outside drinking. Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's get into a few news stories, shall we?
Yeah.
We've heard about these. The Peace is getting sued by Red Hot Chili Peppers, man.
For your favorite live band karaoke.
Come on, man. There's no better place for live band karaoke.
I don't think there's no place.
And there's probably no other place that does live band karaoke. I mean, but Peace. So apparently BMI and like ASCAP and all these like licensing folks are suing Peace because apparently they called them like 70 times and they didn't get a response back. So now they're getting hit with a lawsuit because, you know, during live band karaoke, they're playing these songs. And apparently that's breaking the law.
Really?
That's for karaoke?
For live band karaoke.
Isn't it just like having a cover band come in and play? Like every cover band doesn't have to.
I know for a fact that the Red Hot Chili Peppers in particular, they were at like a benefit for like Bernie Sanders, and they did some cover tunes that were not theirs. Are they getting sued for that?
No. See, I don't think you can. I mean, you can't get sued for playing covers. If that's the case, then every fucking band in Chicago like owes a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Right.
That's the basis of this lawsuit.
That's dumb.
That seems weird.
This says they don't have a license to replay material that's been recorded.
Okay, I can see that. That's they what don't, maybe as the restaurant. Like
as a restaurant.
Maybe they don't even have license to play the music that they play over the speakers.
And it could be that. It could be that as
Wait
well.
Wait a minute. So do you need to have a license to play a CD at a bar?
Exactly. If a restaurant is playing music, they probably have paid for the rights that were... People like Emporium are playing movies. Like, that's super illegal.
Yeah. It's all about BMI. It's all, like, about, like, songwriters and producers, like, getting credit for the songs being played.
Oh, no, I get it. I mean, I am a musician, but I was in a band for a while. And, I mean, I was big on the whole, like, you know, don't pirate music, download music, and, you know, just pay for shit that you're enjoying. But, I mean, when it comes down to, like, covering stuff,
but performing stuff seems different.
Yeah, it does.
It's not necessarily a direct.
It's not the copy that you know. It's not the copy that was recorded.
Because you will never play it the same as they did.
Mm-mm. There's just no way. Yeah. I mean, you don't have 30,000 takes and 14 days in a studio to do it.
It's all very confusing. Yeah, they're getting sued. I find it ironic because like one of the guys who runs Peace is you know, he's in Cheap Trick.
Right.
He's a recording artist. So, like, why is he not responding to calls about this lawsuit? So, apparently. So, there's that.
But Cheap Trick's coming out with a new album.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't have any other information about it other than that. So, that's kind of where that story ends.
So, Maeve dived into the comments.
About the Peace
like,
thing?
She enjoys torturing herself with internet comments.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a lot of people just saying how much they hated Peace Pizza and like it's overpriced, like and she's like, and the beer is bad, and we're like, well, there's no way the beer is bad.
So everybody in the comments is like,
yeah,
it serves them right. They fucking suck
anyway.
That was
a lot of the comments. That's funny. Like, yeah. I was like, well, no, the beer is not bad. The beer is award winning. It's Jonathan Cutler. Like we've had him on. Like he's a fantastic brewer. The pizza, it's a pretty unique style. To Chicago, pizza's like a polarizing topic.
In this town, it definitely is, and it's a New Haven style pizza, right? It's like the thin crust, mm-hmm. You know, like really.
I think comments were like, "Oh, it cuts my mouth," and
people say that about toast.
Yeah, your mouth is weak.
I make toast. Did you guys see this video?
I love toast.
Oh man, it's just funny. Yeah, okay. This is a video about this guy making toast. It's great.
I think I might have seen that.
Right. So,
comments on that and just about Peace, like the hate. It's like I didn't realize there was so much hate at Peace out there.
Every time I go to Peace, we were going to record the show at Peace, but then we were like, well, you know, unless we get there at fucking 11 a.m., like at what point would it be quiet enough for us to record?
Right.
It's always full.
Yeah. So. Mm.
All right. So there's that.
Okay.
Grit and Grain. The documentary about Bourbon County Stout is up for a Shorty Award.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, so cheers to everyone involved in that. So a Shorty Award is, in this particular category, It's the beer, wine, and spirits category. And it's the best use of social media in a marketing campaign. So the short is just like internet awards.
They're guaranteed to win that.
Oh, dude. They're going to crush it.
It was a really good documentary. Like, I think it was pretty well prepared.
I really appreciated how they stretched it out over over like 8 or 9 pieces. And then it ended. Five pieces. And then they ended on Black
Friday. Five, eight, nine.
Yeah. There's quite a few, yeah.
Yeah. They're in the same category with Leinenkugel, Smirnoff, and Miller.
Okay. I think they win that easily for the what the award is, and it kind of comes from this grassroots.
They took us on a serious ride. I mean, like, you know.
Yeah. They're back again.
Sourcing sourcing wood. And hanging out with, you know, whiskey guys.
I can tell you about sourcing wood.
You know?
Like, let me tell you.
It's good, man.
All right.
So there's that. On a little bit more Goose Island news, Goose Island's pub has finally been sold to AB. So Goose Island has now sold to AB twice. And if you count Virtue Cider.
Three times.
They sold
have sold out to AB three times.
Three times to AB now.
Why are they even like... around, and why are they still even in this country? Like, I'd be on my own island somewhere.
It was my hope that they would all like get back together, because you know there's like a binding contract non-compete clause, like after the original sale, and like I don't know, like 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
Like that, hey, you know, after a certain time, you know, the non-compete ends, and then you can like start a brewery if you wanted to.
You can start competing.
In my head, they would all start competing. They'd go do a brewery on Chicago River.
Just so. AB would buy that again.
Yeah.
They could buy it for a fourth time.
Hey, we want that too.
But yeah. Okay. So this is an end of an era in Chicago.
So for anyone that's listening, the pubs were not a part of the original AB deal.
Right. At the time, AB was too big to own brew pubs.
Right. But John Deeth changed this rule.
Exactly. So last year around August, Illinois, there's this, it's called a Class 2 Brewer's License. So it basically means, hey, you can produce 120,000 barrels of beer a year, and you can own 3 brew pubs, and Goose Island qualifies for that. And it doesn't matter who owns Goose Island, but Goose Island, the beer company, qualifies as that because they moved 312 to fucking New York.
Right. So
because that makes sense. It's 312 up there, right?
And let me tell you something else. When we're talking about fucking Goose Island, I mean, I love everybody.
Wait, we're talking about fucking Goose Island, or we're talking about fucking Goose Island?
Well, no. Here. So, like, let me digress. Right?
Is there a comma in there?
It's the brew pub is the oldest brew pub in Chicago. That's why I think this shit's corny and it sucks. It really bothers me, right? But whatever. What are you gonna do, right? You know, it's you're a 70-year-old businessman. You want to get out? More power to you, man.
And if someone drops that type of cash in your pocket,
everybody's got a plan. And so somebody shows up with fucking X million dollars, then your plan's out the window. You know, like we're cashing out.
It was bound to happen. I think many of us in Chicago were hoping that this was like our piece to Goose Island that would never change. I think that's kind of the mentality people
exactly.
Had.
Well, kind of something to add to that, which obviously has nothing to do with Chicago once I bring up San Diego. But Goose Island, sorry, not Goose Island, AB owns 10 Barrel, and they're trying to open up a brew pub in downtown San Diego, which everybody out there is like really shitting bricks about it, and I completely understand because that's kind of like known as like almost the mecca of craft beer.
Sure,
At least one of the meccas of craft beer in America.
That's fair to say. Earlier. In the pregame, we were talking about this very topic, yeah.
Always be recording, man. That stuff's good. Yeah. You should have recorded that.
It's going to happen because the city, like, there's no legal rule.
Yeah, there's nothing
it's
to say.
Really
they're
just
not going
like
to.
It's the voice
it's more
of the people.
Guild and all that. Yeah. That's like, and I understand it, but it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that develops and like what there's a huge major outcry going on right now. And
yeah, and I think what I was trying to get at was like part of my, I mean, I'm a grumpy old man. Let's start there. But part of my issue is, you know, this 312, which is like 54% of all their sales. 312 is made in Baldwinsville, New York, at an Anheuser-Busch plant. You know, this 4-star pills, which, you know, the 4 stars represent the 4 stars on the Chicago flag.
It's actually a solid pilsner.
It's a very solid pilsner. That's now going to be mass-produced and sold everywhere from the same AB facility. And it's like,
New York.
Man.
You got a lot of Chicago heritage in those beers between the 312 and 4-star, but they're being made elsewhere.
Fucking, in Green, if I'm not mistaken, Green Line is doing the exact same thing.
So basically, we got to think like Chicago is better because New York is making our beer.
That's the best way to look at it. I think that's a good way to look at it. Yeah, and we're going to transition forward. Like, because it's kind of frustrating. You know, like San Diego, you know, they get to have their big badass brewery. The oldest brewery in town is probably Stone at this point, right? Craft brewery.
Yeah.
And then they get to be completely independent. They get to expand. They get to be in Ohio. They get to be in fucking Germany. And then our oldest brewery.
It's actually Virginia.
Virginia and Germany, and our oldest brewery gets to turn into AB. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's all of it. That's, but let's move on. So what this means for the pub is that they're going to stop selling wine and spirits, and then it'll basically be a tap room of the Fulton facility.
Okay. Because, the Fulton facility just puts a lot of their beers on tap that they make there. And I think this opens up to more Goose Island pubs. I think we will see Goose Island on, like, I'm going to say this side of the Mississippi and 10 Barrels on the other side of the Mississippi. Like, I think
they do. AB does see a value in brew pubs all of a sudden now. So. Mm-hmm. But I wonder how this thing plays out, this whole class two brewer thing. Where, like, hey, you know, you got to be at this level. You can't be over 120K in barrels.
But that's, that kind of thing. Is that per city?
Like, or is it per location?
Or is it per brewery? Like, because Goose is technically a separate brewery from AB. Is it per brewery? So you that's the way I read
might
it.
It might be. But then again, is it per brewery per location? Like, if you've got the brewery here in Chicago making 120,000, and then you have the brewery in St. Louis, that's possibly
kind of like something. The rock bottom scenario we were talking about.
Right. It's kind of
where, they're technically all have the, they all share the same name, but technically they're all different breweries.
Because look at 10 Barrel, they're made in Oregon. Now they're going to California, where I don't know. I'm sure AB has a brewery there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. They've got a Budweiser facility in Southern Cali. Yeah.
So it might be a per state ruling at that point.
I'd like to know more about how that works.
I'd like for someone to tell me, because I'm pretty sure I can read it, but it's like a fucking book that thick. Yeah. Just on class two. I'm like,
It's real small type.
Yeah. Article 6 of 17, paragraph 4.
Yeah. One more bit of news. Craftbeer.com, they came out with a list of the 51 best U.S. bars.
51?
51. Why? I guess they're counting Puerto Rico? No, D.C.
Okay.
I was going to say, or Hawaii.
D.C., it's its own state.
Hawaii is a state. D.C. is not. Okay.
It's 51. Well, who's the one? Is it Puerto Rico, D.C., or Hawaii?
It might
Hawaii?
Be D.C.
All right, we'll go with D.C.
Hawaii.
I bet
I think no one listens from Hawaii on Chicago Beer Pass.
All right, so there's 4,100 breweries in America, according to these guys. They opened this poll up to the readers, so 9,000 surveys came back. This is the Great American Beer Bar Competition.
Okay.
We'll just run down a couple of the locals, right? We're in Illinois. The bar that won in Illinois, they've got 39 drafts, 200 cans. It's the Bavarian Lodge out in Lisle, Illinois.
Hmm.
All right.
Been there. Yeah. It's a pretty solid place.
Lisle's solid.
Yep. I guess interesting. For the suburbs, I think this is like a super awesome place.
Yeah.
I know my aunt and uncle, they love to go here. Like, they go there all the time. And it kind of showed that the suburbs are we're tired of chain restaurants.
Yeah. And they've got very good, German, authentic food.
It's an intense German bar. It's awesome. I mean, they don't stray from it at all. Like, it is a very authentic German bar.
It's very good food. They've got a fantastic beer list, so I can definitely see that, especially for the suburbs. It's awesome.
Yeah, and then Indianapolis was Hopcat. I didn't even know there was a Hopcat in Indianapolis. It opened in 2014.
Okay.
The original location is Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For Michigan, the Brown Iron Brewhouse won, and then for Milwaukee, it was Roman's Pub, which opened in 1978. So this place I haven't heard of. Yeah.
So you were saying earlier that you felt like this list was bullshit.
I mean,
well, lists in general are bullshit. We should come out with the top five lists of terrible lists, really.
Yeah. I mean, but the people have spoken. Yeah. I mean, I've been to Bee Lodge, and I like Bee Lodge. I don't know if Bee Lodge
is the best Illinois.
Is Bee Lodge the best beer bar in Illinois?
I think that, people would argue that,
people who vote said that, so we can't argue. The people have spoken, we can't argue.
Well, I wasn't asked. Were you asked? Did you get in on this?
You could have.
See, if I would have known about it, then maybe I would have said, but those fuckers never contacted me. Who cares about my opinion, though?
I'm sure most people in Chicago would say Hop Leaf.
The nearest bar to
you. Hop Leaf, Fountainhead.
I like Maria's. I think Maria's.
Maria's
is
awesome. I love Maria's, especially for like a South Side bar. Like, I go by like neighborhoods in Chicago, like which my what my favorite
but
bars
are. If you flew into town and you're like, what place do I need to go to? Are you saying Bavarian Lodge or Hop Leaf?
Map Room.
Map Room.
And that, but that's the obvious list. Like the green, I think the Green Lady is amazing. I love the Green Lady as a beer bar. Nobody likes the Green Lady. I think the Green Lady is a dope spot.
I don't even have actually been there. But
whoever's listening, if you haven't been, go to the Green Lady. You won't be disappointed.
There is no Green Lady.
There's better
but there's
places.
A bar.
And by Green Lady, I mean my apartment. No, I'm joking.
Green Lady, red light special. Given to you by 01 Nick White.
It's this goddamn brewery beer. We're done. We're done. That's the end of the news segment.
That's
We're
the
done.
End of the news.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like pretty solid show. We got so Dark Side at Emporium happening this weekend.
The definitely. Third annual?
Fourth annual.
Fourth annual Dark Side.
Fourth annual, which, I mean, really since Solidarity, which I've kind of taken Solidarity out of it. It's more of like a sub idea. Like Solidarity is like Chicago and Chicago representation only. I've kind of moved more into just like a broad hardcore craft beer, which is what I do online, Facebook, website, everything, and then also consulting and all that. Like, that's pretty much hardcore craft beer, and it's not just for Chicago, it's anywhere else. I mean, it could technically be like San Diego hardcore craft beer. It's just it's all about like location, what's going on in that city, in the town. So I mean, Chicago Beer Pass is talking about hardcore craft beer essentially. So thank you guys, that's awesome, fantastic, every single time you do it. But yeah, it's our anniversary is technically in February, so we kind of cap it off at the end of February with this party, which happens to be Dark Side. And it's actually my favorite event to plan every year. And I'm actually already working on 2017 already. Whoa. And I usually start working in like November. I started working on it about like 3 weeks ago. So I'm working close with beer buyers at Emporium to start work for next year. So next year is going to be awesome. This year is awesome. But I'm just trying to make every year better from the last one.
Okay.
And I figure, like, the earlier I start, the more crazy shit I can get to offer to people that actually come out.
Do you even get to enjoy the event going now, or is like, do you get to have the beer and like?
That's actually a really good question. It depends on the year. One year, I spent the entire time walking around talking to people, and I didn't play 1 second of video games at all.
That's a big part of who you are. That's why it's at an arcade.
Exactly. You know? And I was really hoping to play, especially because they have Adam Stanley pinball there. That's like my all-time favorite pinball machine. So
it's the most, it's number one selling pinball machine.
It's awesome. So last year, I got to enjoy it a little bit more. This year, I actually, most of my crew is not here, so I'm pretty much manning the entire event myself, along with the people that work for Emporium and the bartenders. So I'll probably be working the door. Trying to get away as much as possible. One of the other hardest working like people behind the scenes in craft beer in the city, Eli Espinoza. I'm sure you guys know who he is. I think he might be showing up. He's going to lend a hand. But other than that, like it's just the two of us and mainly me. So probably won't be able to enjoy it as much this year as I would like. But I have been able to enjoy a couple things in the past. A lot of it's usually talking to people, answering some questions, talking beer. I don't know, it varies from year to year, but it's more so like I'd rather have other people enjoy it, and I'm willing to, you know, put forth the effort than to sit there and enjoy my own event. You know.
What do they do with the beer that doesn't sell? Like that, if they don't cash a keg, we may see it at Emporium later on, they pull it off.
They keep it on draft until it's gone.
Oh,
so,
they do, okay.
I mean, there's a lot of kegs that do actually kick. Some stuff is quarter barrel, some stuff is sixtel.
Yeah.
Once
if you showed up Monday, you might see some stuff. If you missed it.
Yeah, you might be able to get some stragglers, but I mean, once 4 or 5 o'clock rolls around, I mean, it kind of seems to turn into like business as usual. They sometimes have like parties that I've been there. They've been setting up reserve tables.
Right.
So they've had some parties that come in later on. So it kind of, once that hits, things get a little bit more like hectic because you got the 250 to 300 people from Dark Side, and then maybe 50 of them leave, and then another like 60 show up, And so it's just kind of a madhouse. So I know that they like, kick through a lot of stuff.
Just give me a beer. Yeah. They didn't even know about the vent. Okay.
They're just like, I don't know what's not going to put me to sleep here.
All right. Well, sounds like an awesome event. I definitely recommend everyone checking it out. So 35 at the door, 25 if you get in advance.
30 at the door.
30.
25 advance. Okay. Tickets are on sale through, I think, 11 o'clock Saturday night.
Okay.
I know that we're over halfway sold out. I don't ever see it selling out, but then again, like, I've been extremely wrong before. So I try to set it to where it kind of coincides with, like, fire code. Like, if we had everybody show up at the same time, like, we're not going to get in trouble.
Right.
But I also don't want to have this small room full of people, and then you're, like, sardines in there, because nobody likes to go to a beer event and, like, it's trying to, like, lick someone else's ear to get a beer. And
then the next day you're reading the comments, like, I had to wait 30 minutes to get a beer. Exactly. Like, I paid for this event.
I want it to be something.
This guy's ear.
I licked this guy's ear. Yeah.
I think someone's touched my ass. Yeah.
Those aren't pillows.
Those are not pillows. Yeah, I think the whole thing is I'm trying to structure it so, like, the people that come out from the breweries have a good time. Like, nobody's technically working. The people that come out who pay for the event have a very easygoing event, especially now that, you know, they do have the two sides open. It kind of clears the air a little bit more.
Yeah.
So it's been a pretty good event, and we haven't been, like, oversold. So that's kind of like a bonus. But, you know, I would always like more people to come out and enjoy it, because it grows every year. And, you know, it's good. It's a good event, and, like I said, it's my favorite. So
nice. All right, we'll check that out. So, besides the event, how can people find you, get in touch, see what else you're doing?
HardcoreCraftBeer.com is one of the big ones. You can find me on Facebook, backslash Hardcore Craft Beer. Like, I was like, how does the internet work again? I am on Twitter. I also I have basically feeds from Facebook going into Twitter. I only tweet on occasion, just because I kind of feel like nobody wants to know what the hell I have to say. So I've got that. And Instagram, Hardcore Craft Beer. You could always just, you know, hit me up, send me an email or something, contacts on HardcoreCraftBeer.com. Like, if you just want to have a glass of wine and talk and cuddle,
but
we can do that too.
Usually out drinking in the suburbs, right?
I do a lot of stuff out in the suburbs, mainly because there's so much stuff going on down here. I mean, you guys cover it usually every single week. The last thing we need is somebody else running around between you guys. What used to be, guys drinking beer, I think, does, like, a lot of stuff kind of downtown. And then
Suburbia
kind of faded out, because he went and got, he made the migration. And, you know, he's running like a plank.
Yeah, plank road.
He's running the plank road tap room.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like guys drinking beer. They really cover the legislative side.
Yeah.
They really cover, and labels, they're really good at that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I try to hit, like, there's a lot of good stuff going out in the suburbs, but nobody ever really knows about it. And, I mean, I live out there, so I'm pretty tapped in.
Because we talk about this a lot. We're like, man, we need, like, that type of, you know, we need that magnet where someone's out there saying, hey, you know, this is what's going on. Even if it's just two sentences. We need to know what's going on out there.
Yeah. Well, like, I did. I had an event at a bar out in Elgin on Saturday. It was a goose event. We had, like, 3 years of Bourbon County on. We had Lolita. We had St. Genevieve. Had a ton of stuff. Like, I mean, it was a great turnout. People
Lolita's
showed up for it.
Lolita's a sexy bitch. Like, I need to
it
know
is.
About this.
And it's awesome. And yeah. St. Genevieve, if you've never had that,
which
that's,
is like the one inspired by, like, a.
It was done with a winery, and it was
inspired by the. What's the wine drink with fruit in it?
Sangria.
Yes,
sangria.
It's inspired by that.
Yeah, it was a sangria, and it tasted like that. And so we had some, it's a pretty solid beers on draft, and there's some really cool shit happening out there.
So,
but
any,
unless it hits.
Is Genevieve a girl name or a woman name?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know of any guy named Genevieve.
I love how you're, like, rubbing your ear while you say that.
I'm
that's
like,
funny.
I don't really fucking know that.
No, but they're really into, like, the female names on the island.
So anyone who's listening who wants to cover the suburbs, I think we're saying there's...
Get your ass to a bar and fucking tweet it.
There's an open market there. I think people are interested in that.
Yeah, well, that's why. There's where my main focus is, mainly because I also live out there.
Yeah, like, I mean, and we're you know, you might think we're, like, joking, but we're serious.
Yeah.
Like, we're not playing. Like, we'd love to know what's going on out there. I think, like, spaces like Bee Lodge You know, if you ever go to Solomon's Brewery, I think there's some gems out there.
Mm-hmm. And, Plank, you know, I think Plank Road.
Plank Road, you've been out there. You like Plank Road a lot. I've been
Plank Road is awesome, especially during Jeremy's the summertime.
Yeah, shout out to Jeremy Teal, man. And Jeremy, you need to find some folks to handle business on the suburbia tip. I think
Jeremy's a good guy.
Miskatonic. I went to Miskatonic and I was really impressed. Yeah. I thought it was dope. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, and we really would like to hear about it. You know, because that's all part of our metropolitan
the
area
collective. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe Justin needs to have a guild podcast, Illinois Craft Brewers Guild podcast. What's happening in the guild?
You know who needs to be, you know who needs to be on it?
Us? Yeah.
They're in the room.
Justin, there we go.
I was just saying, like, if you guys need some help with the suburbs, like, I'm sitting right here. I know I'm pasty white and I might blend in with the wall, but shit.
So you can't make it out there.
After this, I'm probably going to Kuma's, and if I don't do that, I gotta get a cab to go where I'm going. You know?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm willing to help you guys out. So
I think that would be good, especially during like Chicago Craft Beer Week.
No.
You know, I think that'd be a good way to like.
Chicago Craft Beer Week, not suburban Craft Beer Week.
Well, there's a solid group of people out in the suburbs that actually do stuff for Chicago Craft Beer Week. I mean, they want to get involved too. Don't shit on the little guy, man.
No. It's funny because I love this show, but then we always are talking about like how far shit is, but then we both have ties to the burbs.
Yeah.
But we're always talking about how far away shit is.
You go out to your mom's, I go out to my mom's. Yeah. Like, they're all in the suburbs. So.
Nobody ever comes to see me. Dicks.
We just need an open invite, man. That's all we need.
I think I gave you an open invite. Let's look at the tape. Let's look at the tape from like a year ago. Let's look. Yeah, dude, you're always welcome. You're always welcome.
Well, Nick, where can people find you when we're not recording here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAT. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Facebook page / Chicago Beer Pass. I know we're posting lots of photos and other events that we come across that we just don't talk about here. So check that out. And then ChicagoBeerPass.com. All the episodes are posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher. The video version's there. I know, all that good stuff. So, yeah, check that out, and that'll do it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening.
We out!
Cheers.